Welcome to Out of the Hat. This is the last show of the semester. I'm your host, DJ TBN, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Today's show will be a roundup of the most interesting topics I've encountered this semester. The basis of the show is the content that I present, and I want to end the last show by presenting the content I was not able to share with you during the radio series. My first topic today is Gloria Steinem. She was recently at Dominican University as a part of the Institute for Leadership Studies guest speaker series. Her visit to Dominican is one of many college and university campus visits as part of her promotional book tour. Her first book in over 20 years, My Life on the Road, explores Steinem's travels as a journalist, feminist, and activist. I was able to attend the lecture and write about it for the Dominican Beat, our university's online news journal. As Steinem walked out, she was greeted by a roaring crowd applauding and cheering, as well as a standing ovation. Steinem proceeded to read a passage from My Life on the Road. This is a special passage considering it is about the last time she was on campus. Let me read you the passage from her book. It's 1995, and I am at Dominican College near San Francisco. Because an outdoor amphitheater is on its campus holds 1,000 people, it is about to be the site of a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood. No one has uttered a peep of protest. Planned Parenthood clinics have provided health care for so many for so long that it has become one of the most trusted organizations in America. Even some anti-abortion protesters seem to have figured out that demonstrating against clinics only turns public opinion against them, especially since just 3% of Planned Parenthood services are related to abortion. But this is the calm before the storm. Archbishop John Quinn of San Francisco writes a letter to the college's president condemning me as a leading advocate for virtually unrestricted abortion in the United States. Though the college gets not a penny from the Catholic Church, it was founded by Dominican nuns long ago. They are no longer around to seek for themselves, but the archbishop says their legacy is being betrayed. Everything just keeps going, both the accusations and the event. Some contributors do indeed withhold their funds from this college, which is hurtful. But when the trustees hold firm to their support for free speech on campus, new contributions make up for the loss of the old. If anything, the archbishop has only brought more media coverage of an era of declining church membership, aging priests, shutdowns of a dozen historic churches, the revelations of sexual abuse by priests, and many other troubles that caused him to be summoned to the Vatican for a tactical consultation. On the day itself, I'm impressed to see a small protest plane circling over the amphitheater, pulling an anti-abortion banner. Someone yells out, "Look, the right to lifers have an Air Force." There's laughter. The event goes on. Even I know this lonely little plane is a commercial one that can be hired for weddings, birthdays, and advertising. The symbolism of its constant circling makes me sad. Talking later to Dolores Huerta, my friend of 30 years, a lifetime organizer of farm workers and efforts to elect progressive women, I tell her that I can't shake the sadness of the symbolic distance between an airplane representing the church and the real lives of women on the ground. She reminds me of the organizer's mantra, "Roots can exist without flowers, but no flower can exist without roots. Religion may be a flower, but people are its roots." 3 months later, Archbishop John Quinn retires at the age of 66, 9 years ahead of schedule. San Francisco newspapers report he was too distant from the people. This passage highlights an ongoing battle, the highly political battle between pro-lifers and those that are pro-choice in the abortion debate. The issue is often talked about, but the conversation is kept to a minimum to avoid a heated debate. It's especially important to highlight this issue, especially considering the tragic shooting at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado on Black Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving. The barrage of misinformation has created a culture that facilitates extremists to feel compelled to take action. Steinem's passage foreshadows what is about to come only 20 years later. And I want to share what it was like being at the lecture, and it was actually a very interesting lecture that I enjoyed very much. After her opening, Steinem proceeds to transform the auditorium into a talking circle. She engages the audience in a question and answer session. One of the points she covers is the dominant jock culture present in American colleges and universities. Steinem refers to it as a jock-trocracy. Very interesting of Steinem to tackle this issue. Indeed, she was allowed to do an answer and question session, so Questions from the audience really let us gave us an insight into Steinem's knowledge and what she knows about our culture and our society. Some questions that we got on the topic of jocktrocracy and the dominance of sports in college after one of our own radio Penguin Radio DJs asked a question about being a woman in sports journalism. And Gloria Steinem proceeded to share that about you know what's going on now, but I really enjoyed the lecture. Steinem was really great to listen, and her book is really great as well. So I encourage you to check out My Life on the Road by Gloria Steinem, and that's available now. And so yeah, check it out. Also, on this final radio show, I'll be including some of the stories I've worked on for the Dominican Beat. These are stories that I've really enjoyed covering. Earlier in our season, we talked about when I went to Mexico and what it was like to be in Nogales in a border town and seeing the culture there. And I did a story about the festival I went to in the small town of Magdalena de Quino, about 50 miles from the border, and something that really magical that goes on there. So I'll be sharing the story here. I'll also be sharing about a recent solidarity sleepout that Dominican University put on in order to have students experience what it's like to be homeless. And I'll also be sharing a climate change story I did for the paper about sea level rise in Marin County, specifically on the San Rafael shore. Thanks for listening to Out of the Hat. I'm DJ TBN here on radio.dominican.edu. For this segment of Out of the Hat, I interviewed my younger brother. I was curious to see what he knew about politics and the role of politics in American culture. Okay, the purpose of this interview is to try to understand what your opinions are regarding politics and current world events and see how your education has shaped those opinions. So my first question is, what's your name, what school do you go to, your grade, and your age? What's your name?
My name is Martin Trejo Jr.
What school do you go to?
I go to Miller Creek Middle School in San Rafael.
Uh-huh. What's your age?
I am 13 years old.
Uh-huh. What grade are you in?
I'm in 8th grade.
So, you're in 8th grade. What history class are you taking now? What history class? Just talk.
It's history.
Well, like, American, world history.
Oh, yeah. Like, Bill of Rights and stuff.
So, what is that?
American history.
Okay. Well, talk more.
Yeah, I'm taking American history.
Okay. And what have you learned so far in American history, if you could sum it up?
We're watching CNN news, like, current events and topics, and right now we're learning about the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, stuff like that.
So what is the Constitution? It's okay if you don't know.
I don't know.
Have you heard of the Constitution
before?
We're
just getting into it.
Okay, so what does your teacher say regarding the Constitution? It's okay. You can just say it as an interview. I can cut the parts that I don't need.
I could just talk like how I'm talking.
Yeah, you
to
talk normal.
I think it's like the one where they sent it to the king. The king or queen of England, so they could not be like, so they don't to break up, not have to be not the king of England, king or queen England, having to.
Oh, sorry. Keep talking. It's okay.
To like tell them what to do, and yeah.
Okay, so throughout your history class, you've been learning about American history and regarding U.S. politics. And a lot of the news that goes on that is released during the day and every week is about politics. So I just wanted to touch upon politics a little bit, and I wanted to know where you get your news from. And you said you watch CNN Student News, correct?
Yeah.
Do you watch any other news sources?
No, we... That's our... We just... sometimes watch YouTube for some things that we need, and we mostly watch CNN student news.
What about at home?
I personally don't really watch news at home. Only when my dad has it on, like KTVU 2 or whatever it's called.
You say you don't watch it, but do you ever have a chance to maybe watch a little bit? And what has sparked your interest in it? Are there certain topics that you're more interested that the news covers?
Yeah, it's not that I like it, it's just it's more interesting, like, would it be weird if I said, like, terrorism?
No, it's not weird. You can say anything you want.
Like, terrorism and ISIS and stuff like that.
So, I'm going to give you a little quiz just to see how current you are with your events. Can you name 3 news stories that have been trending in the last week?
The San Bernardino mass shooting and the bombs in the stadium in Paris and the shootings in the restaurant
in Paris as well. So obviously there's some sort of macabre aspect of the news that's kind of dark and killing, but we'll change the subject because it's getting too dark now. Do you follow politics?
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what politics are?
No.
Okay, do you have any, like, anything, when I say the word politics, what comes to mind?
Like, history and, like, what our history teacher's talking about and stuff like that? It's like, presidents and stuff.
Are there any other things that you are interested in surrounding current events and the news and politics and American history?
Like, what I like?
Yeah.
Probably, when scientists release a new thing, like, I think last week that they, and on CNN Studio News, they released that their scientists are trying to make organs and bones and stuff out of making them with the 3D printer. I like seeing topics like that.
Are there any other things that you covered in class that maybe you have a curiosity about, mostly surrounding politics and U.S. Affairs? Have you talked about Syrian refugees and the whole idea surrounding that?
Yeah, we had a little debate about it. If we should have, right after the Paris attack and terrorists, if we should have, right after that, Syrian refugees or Iraqi refugees to come into our countries. And I personally said no, because, I mean, we have to get all organized and stuff, we already have enough people here, and that we should just keep it that way, not allow some people, but not everybody to come in, because if everybody came in, it would just be a disaster, because we don't know who's coming in and out, and maybe it could be terrorists.
So when you say just allow a few people in, do you know how the whole process works for a refugee to get political asylum in the United States?
No.
Are you curious about it?
Yeah, kind of.
So what did you base your answer off of? Was it your own research, or was it from something you feel?
It's like what I feel and what I think should happen.
Okay, so that's interesting. And then I want to change another subject on the subject of guns, and there's a lot of issues surrounding guns and gun control in the United States. Are you aware of these issues?
Yeah, I think that instead of right after a mass shooting, we shouldn't start talking about gun laws and who should be able to own a gun. We should try to prevent those things that happen, because almost all of them that happen have involved weapons, like bombs or guns. So we should be careful who we sell them to, not have a criminal record, and we shouldn't start talking about gun laws right after mass killing or shooting happens. And yeah.
So you think that after a shooting, a mass killing happens, we should just avoid the topic of guns?
No, I think that, like, President Obama and that he talks more about gun laws when after a mass shooting than he does, like, just before something happens.
Do you know a lot about guns, or are you knowledgeable on guns?
They're tools for some people, and they're, like, for police officers, it's necessary for them to carry a gun because it's for protection and for they need to put someone or something down. They're going to do it. They have to. And I think guns are helpful, and people shouldn't have the thought of killing somebody else with a gun.
But isn't that the point of guns, to kill something?
Yeah, but I mean, like, not for humans, for, like, just because they get in an argument. I mean, but, yeah, like I said, that police should have them. Well, they have to have them. And some people should be allowed to have them, but not people with criminal records.
Do you know what age you have to be to buy a gun in the United States, particularly in California?
I think it's 21.
And actually, when you're 18, you can buy a gun. So you can be younger. You can't drink yet, but you can own a gun. Let's say you were 18. Would you buy a gun?
No.
Not even a handgun or a rifle or anything?
No, because I don't need them. I live in California. Why would I? I mean, some people are like, oh, for defense in case somebody comes into your house. I mean, what are the odds of somebody coming to your house?
Yeah, that's true. Would you go to a shooting range?
Yeah, maybe.
Why?
I mean, sometimes it seems fun to shoot a gun in the shooting range, but after you do it a lot, then sometimes you want to go do it on something else, like a deer. And then you start getting into guns a lot, so just like maybe once or twice I want to go to a shooting range and
just try it out.
Yeah.
Okay. My last question would be, if you, I think that's it. I don't really have any more questions. Do you want to say anything else?
No. I think I'm good.
Okay. Thanks for your time, and appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to speak with us. So, continuing the topic about guns and the fascination about guns, I'm 19 years old. I can go buy a gun if I wanted to, and I can buy hundreds to thousands of rounds of ammunition, stockpile it in my room. I can buy tactical gear. I can buy modifiers for a gun, so I can make a single shot firearm into fully automatic. What do you think about that?
I think guns shouldn't be allowed for, like, 18-year-olds. I mean, guns can be allowed for some people, like, let's say hunters, but people don't hunt in California. What do they need a gun for? And I think that they shouldn't be able to be bought or sold online, because anybody could buy the gun. They could be a terrorist. They could be a person wanting to kill somebody else. Anybody could buy a gun.
And online. It's actually interesting that there's something called a no-fly list. When you get on airplanes, there's certain people who aren't allowed to fly because they may have the same name as a known terrorist. But if you are on the no-fly list, you're not allowed to board an airplane, but you're allowed to still buy a gun.
That's, like, doesn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what the Second Amendment is?
Is it that people are allowed to have guns?
Yeah, the right to bear arms. So that's something that a lot of people really believe in so passionately, the same as the First Amendment, which is the right, your freedom of speech, which is something I, as a journalist, really, you know, it's something I need, but there's still people who interpret that the same way as guns.
Yeah, like, freedom of speech doesn't necessarily mean you can go around telling everybody or anybody that whatever you want to. it's like you have the right to say some things, but not like to go around and tell people, oh, F you or this or that. I mean, you can, but it's not a smart idea.
Yeah, using common sense and knowing when to say what things. All right, thank you. Appreciate you and your knowledge of guns, and I hope that your interest can continue to grow surrounding our political issues in the United States.
All right, bye.
You say thank you.
Thank you.
Culture. For this segment, I included one of the stories I worked on for the Dominican Beat, our university's online news journal, and this one takes place in Magdalena de Quino in Sonora in Mexico. And I was there in October, and I was able to attend a religious festival that was very interesting. Some of the parts may be in Spanish, so I warn you of that. Every October, Magdalena de Quino, a small town outside of Nogales, Sonora, hosts a unique festival known as Las Fiestas de San Francisco, or the October Festival.
Aquí, ahorita están las fiestas de San Francisco, y ustedes lo podrán ver ahí. Miles y miles y miles de personas.
Mm-hmm. Walking the central plaza is like navigating through a maze of tents and people. Mountains of beer cans pile up throughout the day. Check out the line for the bathroom. It's 5 pesos to use the bathroom, plus 2 pesos for toilet paper. The festival is centered around the patron saint of Magdalena, St. Francis Xavier. We're with the people who are about to enter the Capilla de San Francisco here in Magdalena de Quino. We have been waiting in line for hours, so we're waiting to see who can lift up the saint and have their miracle or their blessing be bestowed upon them. The festival goers flock to Magdalena's cathedral to get a glimpse of St. Francis. Magdalena de Quino is roughly 90 kilometers, about 50 miles from the U.S.-Mexico border. Thousands flock to Magdalena to partake in the religious celebrations. The most devoted even walk the 50-mile stretch from Nogales to Magdalena. The belief is that only the pure of heart are able to lift up the effigy of St. Francis. Those that visit St. Francis believe that he has the power to heal and perform miracles. The festival has become a yearly tradition for Sonorans. More people attend every year, either to join in the festivities or simply out of curiosity.
Como tradición, todos los años.
¿Cuántos años tiene llegando aquí?
Pues, como más de 20 años.
I just wanted to come and check out the October Festival. I heard a lot about it and, you know, want to see it for myself.
Silena de Mara is the president of the Magdalena Pueblo Mágico Committee and owns a shop in the Central Plaza. She talked to me about Magdalena's long history and how the festival came to be.
Esta fiesta de San Francisco Javier tiene más de 300 años de historia.
Aquí en Magdalena.
Aquí en Magdalena. Empezó con el padre Quino, que fue el misionero jesuita colonizador de todas estas regiones. Él empezó y trajo al San Francisco y los Tohono O'odham, que es la tribu nativa de aquí, que están en Arizona y Sonora, empezaron a venir a caminar, solamente que ellos venían el 4 de diciembre, que es día de San Francisco.
Sí.
Pero en aquellos años el clima, pues llovía mucho, había mucha nieve, mucho frío, y decidieron cambiarlo a otra fecha similar y lo cambian al 4 de octubre, que es día de San Francisco de Asís.
The festival honors both Father Eusebio Quino and St. Francis Xavier. St. Francis Xavier never actually went to Magdalena. He was a missionary in modern-day China and India. It was Father Quino that traveled to northern Mexico and set up missions in southern Arizona and Sonora.
Entonces, son las formas en que esto siguió su tradición.
Y evolucionó como...
A lo que tú ves hoy. Antes era fiesta religiosa, ahora es fiesta de todo, es una feria popular.
The fair features a carnival and various artisans selling their goods. In a small booth, a glass blower balances a blowtorch between his legs as he delicately shapes a souvenir trinket. In the food section, a pair from Nogales have brought a taste of the tropics to Magdalena. With a wall of alcohol behind them, they prepare piña coladas and pineapple cups topped with umbrellas and neon maraschino cherries. The fair is brimming with entrepreneurial spirit, and various sellers have taken advantage of the religious fervor and lay out rosaries for sale. One particular woman and her son took the bus all the way from the southwestern state of Guerrero with a few large duffel bags full of handmade rosaries and prayer beads. They take the 30-hour bus ride every year to sell at the festival. The festival has become a melting pot of all kinds of people from all over Mexico. It is most visible in the performances held in the plaza. Rattling from an empty gourd signals the start of the Danza del Venado. The Danza del Venado is a ritual dance of the Yaqui and Mayo people of northern Mexico. The dance features chanting in the Yaqui language and is accompanied by drumming. Center of the dance is a young man who takes on the role of a white-tailed deer. He is blindfolded and ties a taxidermy deer head on top of his head. Shirtless, he decorates his body with beads and wears rattles that he shakes to the beat of the drumming. The performance reflects the mixing of cultures in Mexico. Who would have thought that a pagan ritual such as the Danza del Venado would be performed outside Magdalena de Quino's cathedral while Mass was held? For the Dominican Beat in Magdalena de Quino, Sonora, Zaira Trejo. Thanks for listening. The following story is about climate change and specifically sea level rise in Marin County and how it's affecting the shores of San Rafael. This is also available on the DominicanBeat.org.
As the world's temperature increases, the amount of snow and ice that traps the water, as that decreases, we have more water in the environment, and it's going to go into the ocean, and the oceans are going to rise.
Sea level rise has begun to threaten coastal communities around the world. In the United States, cities like Miami are already seeing the impact of sea level rise. Our planet is changing rapidly, and our communities are not prepared to handle the changes. We have built our cities on low-lying land as well as filled in land. This combination has led the ocean to overtake sinking land. The land we're standing on now is actually filled in, and when the bay rises up, it will reclaim its territory. The challenges that Miami is facing now foreshadow what may happen here in Marin. Marin County is a maritime community. The proximity to the water makes Marin an attractive place to live. Marin County is surrounded by three major bodies of water. The eastern shore borders the San Pablo and San Francisco Bay. The San Francisco Bay also runs around southern Marin, while the western edge of Marin opens up to the Pacific Ocean. Closer to San Rafael is the San Rafael Bay, which is part of the San Pablo Bay. A tributary of the San Rafael Bay, San Rafael Creek runs through the city of San Rafael. The creek's placid water will pose a threat to surrounding businesses and infrastructure when sea levels rise. One of the most vulnerable areas is San Rafael's canal neighborhood. When sea levels rise, the canal's dense population will cause greater levels of devastation.
The canal area has been mostly dry since 1982, but very small floods have occurred since then.
Juan de la Calle, a longtime resident of the canal area, vividly remembers the flood of 1982.
Sí, fue algo que sí, definitivamente extraordinario. Toda el agua se entró en los apartamentos y se taparon los tragantes, decimos. Cuando no hay como qué manera salir, está ahí chavo en la calle, ¿de qué manera va a salir?
Small amounts of rise in sea level are going to mean that when we have storms coming through, there's no longer that sort of buffer that we used to have, which was that houses were a couple of feet above sea level. As we use that buffer up, we're going to find that as storms roll through, as typhoons and hurricanes roll through, as storm surges roll through, they're going to more directly address, they're going to more directly impact and be more devastating.
The County of Marin has begun to look at the issue of sea level rise. Jack Liebster from the Marin Planning Commission is directly involved with efforts to address the problem.
A flooded parking lot is a problem, but a flooded electrical substation that wipes out the electricity for an entire neighborhood or city, or a wastewater treatment plant that gets flooded and emits untreated waste throughout the area, that's a bigger problem.
In fact, the Bay Conservation and Development Commission predicts that water in the San Francisco Bay will rise up to 16 inches by 2050 and by 55 inches 50 years after that. Lori Williams from Marin County Flood Control and Lauren Armstrong from Marin County Community Agency discuss proposed solutions to combat sea level rise.
We're working on longer-term solutions to flooding, so not like sandbagging, something you can do in these upcoming storms, but looking at the entire watershed and how the water functions through there and working with our partners in the watershed to come up with longer-term solutions that we would then seek funding for to implement.
We may ask ourselves why we can't simply just leave an area. Lori Williams shared that it is not possible to leave developed areas even if they are threatened by sea level rise.
It has always been that the areas closest to the oceans are some of the most populated.
Policymakers, like Congressman Jared Huffman, are interested in seeking funding to aid in sea level rise solutions.
Obviously, we're always going to need to do dredging in our marinas and the channels that require navigation. So adaptation is a huge part of it. In a community like ours with all these baylands, some of what we need to do for sea level rise is good for wetlands because wetland restoration can provide a really wonderful natural buffer. But there's going to be some infrastructure that'll need to be hardened and elevated. So we're going to need to invest a lot more in our bayside and oceanside communities, and that's one of the things that I'm trying to get funding for.
The most important step to take in regards to sea level rise is access to information and education about the issue. Jack Liebster best describes the next step.
Rising and raging waters don't respect city limit lines or county boundaries, nor are they constrained by departmental organization charts or what special district has which responsibilities. The silos between departments need to become more permeable at all levels, city, county, all around, and the cooperation expanded among different local governments and different agencies with functional responsibilities.
Even though our homes are threatened by rising seas, we are still able to slow down the issue.
We just want people to be prepared in the meantime. It's going to be a slow emergency, so we have time to deal with it.
If we can slow the pace at which we're adding carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, we will not stop climate change, and therefore we will not stop sea level rise, but we can mitigate it by having it occur more slowly, and we can start the turn that would bring us back into a better situation.
This story is about the Solidarity Sleepout held at Dominican University back in November. And this was put on in order to have students experience what it's like to be homeless. And it was a really interesting experience to be there and to see the students sleep out for the night, and actually got pretty cold. So go ahead and listen. It's a chilly night in November at Dominican University of California in San Rafael. And Jessica Zanata is preparing to leave her dorm room for the night. She's getting ready to spend the night outside. She's taking part in a solidarity sleepout to experience what it's like to be homeless.
I'm wearing two layers of socks. So one thin layer and then one like fuzzy sock layer. And then I have my Uggs. And then I have some sweatpants and this jacket.
Jessica, a junior communications and media studies major, is a member of campus ministry at Dominican. Campus ministry has recruited a group of students and staff to take part in the sleepout. As Anata makes her way towards the spot where they'll be sleeping, she quickly realizes that it'll be a long and cold night.
I feel like I can't be prepared for this, like, other than, you know, bringing the things I was supposed to. I don't really know what to expect. It's kind of expect the unexpected. I'm afraid that later on tonight I'm going to be a lot colder once I take my shoes off and get in bed.
The group will be sleeping on cardboard boxes, which are more comfortable than the ground and will help retain their body heat. The temperature is projected to dip to 46 degrees Fahrenheit, but the clear skies will make it feel colder. For the participants, the sleep out is a brand new experience.
I've always wanted to do something like this, and when I saw that Dominican was putting it on, I figured it was the perfect opportunity, and if I've been wanting to do it, why not do it now?
It's a good opportunity to just gain a new perspective.
Assistant Director of Campus Ministry, Leonie Castro, explained the reasoning behind the sleep out.
This is the first year that we've done this in particular, like a National Hunger Homelessness Awareness Week. I think for all the things that we do in campus ministry, we just want people to open their hearts more to other people, you know, and to, like, yes, you're here for school, but we're trying to model what it's like to live in the world and, like, to respond to needs.
As the sun came up, some members of the Dominican community woke up with new perspectives.
When I walk by somebody, like, I know how cold they are, you know, or I know how uncomfortable it is, and it was only for one night.
For the Dominican Beat, in Caloriga Plaza at Dominican University of California, Syra Trejo. This other story is about Bellegarth and their medieval society that engages in play fighting or combat. And I did this story back in April for a broadcasting class, but I thought it was still interesting to revisit and see why people do this. Wearing medieval clothing, women sporting elf ears, and a multitude of foam spears, swords, and clubs. This is Bellegarth Medieval Combat Society. Founded in 1979, Bellegarth has since grown and is now found all over the world. Players dress in medieval or fantasy clothing and engage in play fighting with each other. Weapons are crucial to the sport. They are typically handmade and made of soft, yet sturdy materials. In addition to weapons, shields are also used to protect the body. Players and participants typically spend lots of time on their costumes. Some have themes. I met a player who was a bear warrior, and his shield was engraved with a bear paw. Another player was dressed as a Viking, and was so committed to his role that he even grew out his hair and beard. Even though the event was mostly male, there were some female Bellegarthers there as well. While Bellegarth may seem violent, it also has a softer side. It provides a sense of friendship and community. And finally, I included this story I did for Penguin Press Pass because it was really interesting to see what our Congressman Jared Huffman has to say about sea level rise. And he was featured in my video about climate change as well. So go ahead and take a listen. And after that, we'll be hearing a PSA about processed meat products. Parts of Marin County, California are extremely vulnerable to sea level rise, and the effects of rising seas could be devastating to communities. Our representative in Congress, Jared Huffman, is ready to tackle the issue head on. This is Penguin Press Pass, Real Students, Real News, special edition interview here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ TBN, and my guest is Congressman Jared Huffman. Congressman Huffman represents California's 2nd District that spans from the Golden Gate Bridge to about the Oregon border. Jared Huffman has been a member of Congress since January of 2013. At a climate change panel hosted by Dominican University on November 9th, I was able to ask Congressman Jared Huffman about his plans to address sea level rise in Marin County.
Well, there are a lot of plans, but adaptation is a huge part of it.
Are there any ways to tackle sea level rise in a natural way?
In a community like ours with all these baylands, some of what we need to do for sea level rise is good for wetlands because wetland restoration can provide a really wonderful natural buffer.
What else can we do to avoid damage caused by sea level rise?
There's going to be some infrastructure that'll need to be hardened and elevated, things like Highway 37. And obviously we're always going to need to do dredging in our marinas and the channels that require navigation.
Do you have anything more you'd like to add, Congressman?
We're going to need to invest a lot more in our bayside and oceanside communities, and that's one of the things that I'm trying to get funding for.
That was Congressman Jared Huffman, representative to California's 2nd District. He shared his plans to address sea level rise in Marin County and how he is bringing the issue up in Congress. Thank you, Congressman Huffman. I'm DJ TBN from Penguin Press Pass, Real Students, Real News on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. It's time to leave the hot dogs behind at the ball game. The World Health Organization has declared that red meat and processed meat are linked to increased rates of colorectal cancer. Save a pig and drop the bacon.
Nitrates, a known human carcinogen, are used in processed meats as preservatives, and when cooked, red meat releases chemicals that cause cancer. No steak is worth the risk. There are plenty other ways to get protein. If you don't need it, don't eat it. This public service announcement has been brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio. You're listening to Out of the Hat. It's been a great season, and I hope I brought some content that was relevant to you and that you found interesting. Once again, signing off, this is DJ TBN for Out of the Hat on radio.dominican.edu.